Well, good morning, everyone. As has been mentioned a couple of times, my name's Marcus. It's great to have you here. If this is one of your first times with us, I'm so glad you've decided to join us this morning. We're going to continue our vision series in the book of Colossians, but before we do, I just wanted to remind you about the Life course coming up, starting the 17th of May. 17th of May is when the Life course starts. If you or someone you know, you think it would be worth checking out the claims of Jesus, this is the place to bring them. It's a clear gospel explanation so that people can know the hope of life that we have in Christ. But for now, before we get into Colossians, why don't we pray? Let's pray together. Father, as we think about your plans for our world, give us hearts that love Jesus, the image of the invisible God. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. Now, just to start us today, what I want to do is address the elephant in the room. I think it's blatantly obvious, but I've heard no one say anything about it, even when I was a student minister at Bexley North, and no one has said anything about it since I've come on full time. And I'm genuinely surprised that Phil didn't talk about it last week when he spoke about it. And so, with all the courage I can muster, I'm going to say it. Here it is. The elephant in the room. Our church's vision statement has no location. No location. Glorifying God by proclaiming Jesus, growing disciples and serving together. But where? Where is this going to happen? Where are we trying to make this happen? In St. George North? In Sydney? Across the globe? Is our aim to do this everywhere? How are we as a little church going to do this everywhere? And while we're thinking about these things happening everywhere, you've probably noticed that we regularly pray for our mission partners overseas. People taking the gospel all over the place. Lama in Vietnam, Kelly in Japan, the McDowells in Paraguay. Why? I don't know anyone from Japan. They're not my friends and family. I've barely met some of these people that we pray for. I've got friends who don't trust Jesus, people in my family who need the gospel, mums and dads at the school gate, so many people around me who haven't heard the gospel. You're probably the same. And so why should we together as a church care about the gospel going overseas? Why should we pray? Why should we give our money? Why should we care about world mission? Well, as we'll see in Colossians 1, we care because of who Jesus is. Global mission matters because of who Jesus is. Jesus gives us all the reason to pray for our mission partners, to give to gospel work overseas, and to even consider going ourselves. Because spreading the gospel is about the purposes of Jesus in this world and not our own. And he wants to see people in all places, everywhere, turn to him. And so let's take a look at this passage, Colossians 1. And the first thing we see is that Jesus is incredible. So take a look at Colossians 1, verse 15. He, and it's talking about Jesus here, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Now, I think all of us can probably agree that Jesus is no ordinary person. And what it's saying here is that he's the exact representation of God and a human being. And not just a representation of God, not just a bare image. Take a look at what it says in verse 19. Verse 19, "For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him." The fullness of God, the God who transcends the entire universe in the form of a man. Isn't that incredible? Doesn't that blow your mind? Because that would mean that Jesus is the one who created the entire universe that we read about in Genesis 1. And that's what it says. Take a look at verse 16. For everything was created by him in heaven and on earth, the visible and the invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. Not only did he make the Great Barrier Reef, the Grand Canyon, the Milky Way, the entire universe, but he also made the immaterial things. The authority of kings, prime ministers, and presidents. All good things that we as sinful human beings have corrupted. And so literally everything, everything that we see and experience day to day was all made by the Son of God. Now, some of you might know that I'm somewhere between 1/16th to 1/8th Swedish, which means that I have a natural affinity for flat-pack furniture and meatballs. And so every once in a while, I'll take a trip to IKEA just to feel at home. And then I buy some boxes and I return to my actual home and I put some cubes together. And I feel pretty pleased with myself. And I'll turn to my wife, Gnomes. I'll say, Gnomes, look! Look what I did! I made some cubes! But then I think about Jesus, who by his own power made the trees that the cubes are made of, made the concrete that the building in Tempe stands up on, made the people who designed and sold me the cubes, and made it all from nothing. He made it from nothing. Then I just realize how incredible Jesus is, because Jesus is incredible. And he's not only incredible in power and creativity, but in grace and mercy too. Because even though we, each and every one of us, was made by Jesus, we were at war with him. So take a look at how brilliantly Paul puts it in verse 21. Colossians 1, verse 21. Once you were alienated and hostile in your minds, as expressed in your evil actions, but now he has reconciled you by his physical body through his death to present you holy, faultless, and blameless before him. See, Jesus is so indescribably different to us. Human beings almost always respond to hostility with more hostility. But instead, Jesus loves us. He is incredible. And he is your Savior, the one who loves you deeply, who gave his own life for us, even though we were enemies. And so the only right response when we see this Jesus is to fall on our knees and worship him. And the only reason that we would get up off of our knees is because running is faster than crawling. And we're desperate to go tell other people how incredible this Jesus is. As our vision statement says, to proclaim Jesus, to point them to the only person who ever conquered death for good. To point them to the incredible Jesus. And that's what we want to do, not just here in St. George North, but everywhere and anywhere. Because we also need to recognize that this is what Jesus made all people for everywhere. And that brings us to my second point on the outline and in this passage, that he is the purpose. Jesus is the purpose for it all. So take a look again at verse 15. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For everything was created by him in heaven and on earth, the visible and the invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. See, it's not just that Jesus is powerful to make it or that he makes it for no reason, No, all creation is made through him and for him. The purpose of creation is to be his, to honour him, to worship him, to do his will, to live as people made in his image, to display his glory. The purpose of human life, your life and mine, and the purpose of our whole reality is that everything we are and everything we have is meant to be for Jesus. And that means that the best thing for us and the best thing for our world is that Jesus is honored. It's that people don't live for themselves, but live for him. Because that's what we're made for. And it's what we're saved for too. This idea, I think, helps us to move beyond thinking only about the people around us when we think about proclaiming Jesus. We rightly spend lots of time thinking about how we'll share the gospel with our community. And we want to share the gospel with them because we genuinely love these people, don't we? We genuinely love them. And we know that without Jesus, they'll go to hell. And that he is the Savior who cares, the Savior who weeps over Jerusalem, who searches for the lost coin and the lost sheep, who dies in our place so that we will be saved. Our King desperately cares for the lost. And it's right for us to have that same heart. And at the same time, we remember that everything is for Jesus' sake, which means that proclaiming the gospel, proclaiming Jesus, is firstly for the sake of Jesus. When we proclaim Jesus, we do it firstly for Jesus before we do it for the person in front of us. Because we want Jesus to get what he deserves. We want Jesus to get everything that they are, everything that they have. We want Jesus to get all the glory from their lives, even if we don't know them, even if we don't like them, even if they live on the other side of the globe. We want them to hear the gospel so that they will give Jesus what he deserves, all the glory in their lives. See, Jesus being the purpose for it all helps us to reorder our own ambitions in evangelism. It's right for us to want people around us to know Jesus. That's a good thing. We know that Jesus wants all people everywhere to be saved. And so our hope for people to be saved from hell isn't localized, because he deserves the lives of all people everywhere. And so we take the gospel to our workplaces, our schools, our homes. But we also send people to proclaim the life-giving message of Jesus. Here's how 2 Corinthians 5 puts it. I think it puts it really well. For the love of Christ compels us, since we have reached this conclusion, that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all so that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for the one who died for them and was raised. Our love for Jesus means that we desire that all people everywhere would live for him. But they won't do that, and in fact they can't do that unless they're reconciled to him. And that brings me to the third point on the outline if you're following along. Take a look at verse 19 in your passage. Verse 19. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile everything to himself, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. In the person of Jesus, all things are reconciled back to him by his death on the cross. That means people from every tribe, every language, every nation can be saved by Jesus. Everyone, everywhere, everywhere can turn back to God through the body and blood of Christ. See, the opportunity for reconciliation isn't like trying to join the royal family. It's not exclusive to a certain lineage of people, or even exclusive to people who like playing polo. No, Jesus died to reconcile all peoples everywhere to himself. And this was God's plan all along, wasn't it? We see it in Genesis 12, God's blessings of Abraham. It says this, I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. And then take a look at Zechariah 2 verse 11. Many nations will join themselves to the Lord on that day and become my people. And we see it in the Great Commission that Phil read earlier, one of the most helpful verses as we think about world mission. It says this, Jesus came near and said to them, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We even saw it in our psalm reading today. God's heart, the thing that he loves, the thing that he desires is to see people from all nations, all tongues being saved. Jesus' purpose is for all people across the world to be saved through the gospel. And so all people can be reconciled to God. But then take a look at how Paul clarifies that this doesn't mean that everyone is saved from judgment. Take a look at verse 21 of our passage, Colossians 1, verse 21. Once you were alienated and hostile in your minds, as expressed in your evil actions. But now he has reconciled you by his physical body through his death to present you holy, faultless, and blameless before him. If indeed you remain grounded and steadfast in the faith and are not shifted away from the hope of the gospel that you heard. See, even though we were at war with God, he reconciles us to himself through Jesus when we place our trust in him. It's through faith that this reconciliation from God is given to us. See, that's why when we send people, we don't send them to set up government programs. We don't send them to give away food. We don't send them to build hospitals. And those are all good things to do. But the only thing that will save people for eternity is the preaching of the gospel, putting their faith in Jesus. Because if they don't, they'll continue to spurn our Savior, and judgment is coming. But again, this is our desire for all people everywhere because Jesus is their King. He is their reconciler. Seeing people worship Jesus is our great hope, not only for the people of the world, but it's also our great hope for Jesus as well. This is why I love singing the song we're going to sing later today. It's called In His Name. And we'll sing these words. I'll read them out for you. Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praises. That desire for Jesus to be proclaimed by thousands of languages is our hope, isn't it? For people everywhere to declare that Jesus is Lord. And so I hope in all this you can see how brilliantly good Jesus is. I hope you're struck by what this passage has to say about him. And I hope that helps you to see why we send and support mission partners. We want Jesus proclaimed everywhere because of how incredible he is. We want Jesus proclaimed everywhere so he gets the glory that he deserves. And we want Jesus proclaimed everywhere because reconciliation and hope are only found in him. And I think that's why it's helpful that our vision statement has no location. Because yes, we desperately want this in St. George North, don't we? But we want Jesus honoured everywhere. But again, we're a small group of people, and so how can we see this happen? If this is our great desire, our great ambition, then what can we do to try to see Jesus proclaimed everywhere? Well, the first thing we do is take responsibility for proclaiming Jesus here in St. George North. So that means we do all the things we heard last week in Phil's talk and in Colossians. We proclaim Jesus in our workplace. We serve at church. We give generously to the work of the gospel here in St. George North. And then we think globally. And I think here, CMS, they've been mentioned before, has really nailed it. CMS has this slogan, should come up on the screen. Pray, give, go. And I want to think about each of those just for a second now. And let's start with prayer. It's really interesting that Paul, the great missionary, desired and rejoiced in people's prayers. So take a look at Romans 15, should come up on the screen. Now I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, through our Lord Jesus Christ and through the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in prayers to God on my behalf. And then later in Colossians, in chapter 4, he says this, at the same time, pray also for us that God may open a door to us for the word. See, we believe in a mighty God, a God so powerful and so loving that he reconciles us to himself in Jesus. And so praying for our missionary partners is a no-brainer. Pray for everything. Pray for their godliness, for their resilience, for their language, for their housing, and pray for the things that they asked for. Pray as earnestly for Lama's students as you do your co-workers. Because did you see how excited Lama was for your prayers? Today, you have an opportunity at morning tea to sign up for their emails. There'll be cards and QR codes. You'll see one of these. You can sign up for their prayer letters using those. Make sure you sign up. But don't just sign up. Make sure you pray as well. And the other thing to do is to give, to partner financially with our mission partners. And I think it's helpful to remember here that all things belong to Jesus. And so even if it's our money, it belongs to him. And so we use it for his purposes, to see a world that lives for him. And so I want to encourage you to think generously and deeply about how you'll support mission work overseas. We often think that giving to the proclaiming of the gospel is the thing that we do after everything else is sorted. We get the job sorted, we get the house sorted, we get the lifestyle sorted, then we sort out our gospel generosity. But this vision of Jesus flips it all on its head, doesn't it? All of it, every single cent, is for the sake of him. And so we need to flip our thinking on its head too. Our first thought ought to be, what can I give for the sake of the gospel, both here and overseas, so that Jesus will be honoured and glorified? Because when you give to church, it lets things like the life course proclaim Jesus clearly to our community. And when you give to the McDowells in Paraguay, you allow them to read the Bible with people in remote villages where there are no other Christians. And when you give to the Konings in France, you allow a church to be planted and the gospel to be proclaimed in a city that for so long has tried to reject Jesus. And just as an aside, while we're thinking about the Konings, we're really excited as a church to be partnering with them as they plant a church in Toulouse. We're actually going to have a supporters afternoon tea later in the year with a live video call with the Konings. And Phil's going to give us more details about that later in the service. Now, we as a church think that giving to our mission partners is so important that we want everyone, each individual, to consider how they will do that, how they will be both generous to their church and to seeing the gospel go to the world. So that we each, every single one of us, gets to cheerfully and joyfully give to seeing the gospel go to places like Paraguay. And so as you pick up supporter cards as you leave today, make sure you do it with a Jesus-focused, generous heart. As you take a flyer, think about what you'll give to see the gospel proclaimed everywhere. And I want to say this, seeing Jesus worshipped and glorified throughout this world, seeing people saved from hell, is worth more than anything money can buy. And then finally, that brings me to go. Pray, give, go. Are you someone that could go overseas to proclaim Jesus? Are you someone that could go overseas to proclaim Jesus? I think many of us probably too easily dismiss that question. In fact, I didn't want to ask it. I've just started a ministry at a great church. It's gone all right so far, you know. I think. I'll get some reviews later, I guess. But I want to shrink back from that question. But let me ask it again. Are you someone that could go overseas to proclaim the gospel? To proclaim Jesus? Because we see here that Jesus gives us every reason to go, to proclaim his greatness to all people everywhere. And so will you go? Will you go? Let's pray. Our great and gracious God, we fall humbly at the feet of Jesus, the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, the one who made all things and whom all things are for. Father, we pray that you would glorify Jesus in this world and use us to see it happen. Give us boldness to proclaim Jesus here and give us generous hearts so that we might support those who go out from us to proclaim the name of your Son, Jesus. And Lord, if it's your will, we pray that you might help us to go ourselves, all for the sake of your kingdom and glory. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.